In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 105 years ago today, on the 27th of December 1904, a new Christmas play opened in London. The author, the theatre management, and the critics all thought it would be a flop, a disaster, a failure. But the audience loved it and have done so ever since. For the play was Peter Pan, which since then has been told as a children's story countless times. Walt Disney has even made it into a film, which I remember from my own childhood and being very frightened of the owl in the film, let alone the crocodile. It's not surprising that it has lasted so long, for it has all sorts of timeless ingredients. Children as heroes, outwitting the adults. Battles with pirates and crocodiles. Very clear-cut, good and bad characters, heroes and villains. And Peter Pan, who can fly and always manages to escape from Captain Hook's clutches in the nick of time. As well as the fantasy world of adventure, there is also a cosy domestic idyll, the comfortable Edwardian house where the children live, Coco before bedtime, and of course the dog Nana. It paints a scene of security, safety, familiarity, very much of its generation, and yet somehow it manages to speak to children many generations and years since it first appeared. The play presents us then with these two worlds, the conventional and the fantasy, and there is a seamless join from the one to the other. The play opened, I said, at Christmas, at a time when another story is told, a story which also has all sorts of timeless ingredients, a mother and a baby, a journey, good kings and a bad king, and so on and so forth. A story that has an ordinary, everyday side to it. Every day for its time, with its shepherds and their sheep, a newborn baby wrapped up in cloth against the cold. But alongside these familiar elements, there are extraordinary events. Angels in the sky, lights, and a special star. It is again to show that there is a seamless join between our world of here and now and God's world of surprise and wonder, which is what we were doing on Christmas morning in putting new stories from the papers of what is going on in our world around the base of the crib. There is this join between that world portrayed in Bethlehem and our world with its joys and sorrows today. And yet, if this really was God's plan to save the world, you would think it was just as fantastic as Peter Pan, and perhaps even more likely to be a flop. But no, we tell the story of the journey to Bethlehem, the birth of the baby there, the angels and the shepherds, we tell it year after year, and it has not lost any of its charm and fascination. It has not lost any of its power to affect people's lives. The story of Samuel in our first reading, and that of Jesus in the temple, recounted in Luke's Gospel, seem at first sight to be in that same tradition of boy heroes. In fact, Luke is deliberately echoing the story of Samuel. The Magnificat, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour." That song which Luke puts in the mouth of Mary is deliberately modelled on the song of Hannah, Samuel's mother, in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2. And similarly, the comment in 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 26, "The boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and favour with the Lord and with the people," is echoed almost word for word in Luke's conclusion to the episode of Jesus in the temple. The boy Samuel was an example to the priest Eli in his diligent and faithful service in the temple, just as Jesus is found giving a lesson to the adults in the temple. And we know that Eli and his family were corrupt and came to a bad end. And after Jesus' crucifixion, the temple and its hierarchy would all be swept away within a generation. These boy heroes were living in a real world. Peter Pan, though, is the boy who never grew up, who took children out of the ordinary world into a fantasy one for their adventures. Jesus, on the other hand, was a baby who did grow up, whose adventures were not fantasy, but were with real people in real situations of illness and disability, poverty, relationships, both healthy and harmful, taking place in real settings, farming, fishing, eating, buying and selling, and finally dying. God's way of saving the world from our enemies was not then to escape into adventures in Never Never Land, but to bring his eternal world into our world, born among us, that we might be born in him today and every day. Amen.